What I would like to discuss are two different studies that we've done. The title suggests I'll only be talking about foliar nutrient applications and the effect of those on HLB-affected trees. But I've added at the end some preliminary data from a study we just concluded on the effect of pH on nutrient uptake as well. The plots you see on the screen now are for calcium at the top, magnesium at the bottom. They were done by Likes Brothers citrus growers in Florida, a large operation. And from 2008 to 2012, they took leaf samples from a large number of blocks, analyzed those leaves and looked at them over time, and you can see both calcium and magnesium, as well as other nutrients, declined over that four-year period, even though they applied increasingly larger amounts of those nutrients to the trees. At the end of the study, we had a 1% concentration decline in the average calcium concentration, and a 0.1% decrease in magnesium. So very substantial decreases. This plus the fact that many growers were reporting that they could alleviate greening symptoms by foliarly applying micronutrients prompted us to do a five-year study from 2010 to 2015. Sorry about that. And we wanted to look at how applications of various amounts of micronutrients foliarly would affect these trees. And as I mentioned, we also looked at in a separate study, pH. We wanted to look at the pH to see if pH that had increased in our soils over time, if we brought that back down into the more acceptable horticultural range, and we'll discuss that later, if we could encourage greater increase of micronutrients from the soil. We also wanted to look at root density, which I won't present those data today, but we found that by decreasing the pH, we also increased root density. The nutrient study was a five-year study in a commercial grove with Valencia orange on swingle rootstock. We had a no-spray control, so some of the trees, some of the treatment was applying absolutely nothing, only a water spray, three times a year. The other was to look at separate applications of manganese, zinc, and boron. Each of those nutrients were applied to separate trees, separate blocks of trees, at 0.5 times the IFAS recommendation, one time the IFAS recommendation, and two times, excuse me, it should be 2.0, not 20. And the IFAS recommendation was a significant part here because prior to HLB, we were recommending one application of micronutrients per year. A lot of growers had backed off of that and only applied micronutrients if they saw deficiencies, but we recommended a one-year application to healthy trees. So we wanted to see, based on this IFAS recommendation, how much was too much. Because many growers were showing excessive amounts of micronutrients in their leaves, and we wanted to see if that would affect both growth and yield. By applying three times a year, we were actually applying 1.5, 3, and 6 times the IFAS recommendation. We applied them as sulfates separately and phosphites separately. That was a treatment. And we wanted to look at potassium nitrate, with and without potassium nitrate, to see if addition of potassium and nitrogen to the leaves themselves was a factor in foliar application. Leaf samples were taken just prior to each application, a few days prior to the application, and then 2 weeks after each application. The leaves were thoroughly washed with a dilute acid solution, so we eliminated all surface contamination and looked at only the concentration within the leaves themselves. This is our current recommendation, just a chart that's in our production guide. You see that for manganese, fuller application is 3 to 5 pounds of metallic per acre, zinc 5 pounds per acre, and boron 1/4 pound. So that is the IFAS recommendation that we went with, 5 pounds, 5 pounds, and 1/4. Looking at nitrogen, the red bars here indicate our optimum range. We have pre-application samples and post-application samples. So in this case, the blue bars, the sprays contain potassium nitrate. The red bars, no nitrogen or potassium source. And we saw no significant difference pre-application and post-application, and they were within the optimum range. However, potassium, we did see differences. The single red line here indicates the bottom of our optimum range. Pre-application, both the potassium nitrate treatments and the control treatments were below that optimum range. After the potassium level of the potassium nitrate application was just into the optimum range, indicating that, yes, we did have a substantial improvement in at least leaf concentration by applying potassium with our foliar sprays, but not nitrogen. Looking at the micronutrients, again, we had zero rate, 1.5 times IFAS on an annual basis, 3 times and 6 times for manganese and zinc. The red lines, again, indicate the optimum range. Below the red line is deficient. The zero was either at the low end of the optimum or deficient. The dashed line was the post-application treatment. The solid line was prior to spray application. And both in this case for manganese, the 1.5 times IFAS kept the leaf concentration within the optimum range, both pre and post. However, the 3 times and 6 times were above optimum range for that nutrient. Same thing occurred for zinc, where we were at or in the optimum range pre-samples, but again, above optimum after application. We also, as I mentioned, we applied sulfate and phosphate forms just because many growers were curious if the type of material that was applied, if that made any difference. And the pre-treatment, there was no difference, no significant difference. However, after, we had significantly increased manganese for the phosphate application. So this would indicate after 2 weeks after application, there was a greater amount of manganese in the leaf tissue using phosphate than sulfate. But by the time about 6 weeks came around and we applied again, those concentrations had gone back down into the optimum range. Looking at growth and yield, again, this is the manganese concentration. Just for reference, we looked at canopy volume, and we had a linear relationship of canopy volume to application concentration. However, in yield, what we noticed is that we had a substantial decrease in yield of the highest rate, 6 times IFAS recommendation, compared with the 3. So this leads us to the recommendation that either sulfates or phosphate forms are sufficient, but that you can apply too much micronutrient and affect your yield. And we in talking with growers and while the study was going on, we saw the same thing in the field. If the growers had over optimum range of nutrients continually in their tissue, they typically had lower yields. So this leads us to our recommendations. And the recommendations are basically the same as what we had previous to HLB coming into Florida. The nitrogen and potassium concentration within leaves need to be in the sufficiency range. And whatever treatments you have, when you take your annual leaf samples, if they lead to nitrogen and potassium in the sufficiency range, that's all the best you can do. Same thing for the micronutrients, manganese. I concentrate on manganese and zinc here. We did not see a decrease in yield with boron. So manganese and zinc, this is the sufficiency range that we recommend, 25 to 100 parts per million. And as long as your leaf samples are in that range or perhaps slightly above, that's the best you can do. And so whatever you are doing, you can continue that. If it's below, obviously you need to increase. If it's substantially higher than the optimum range, you need to consider reducing the amount of micronutrients. So looking at the effect of soil pH on HLB-affected trees, Jim Graham did a series of surveys in commercial groves, and he found that it was, and we knew this before, that using deep water wells in Florida as an irrigation source from our limestone aquifer brought with it calcium carbonate from that limestone aquifer. The pH of the water is elevated. The soil under the trees were being elevated by the application of that water. But prior to HLB coming into Florida, we did not see substantial effects on the trees, on healthy trees. But we wanted to look and see if that was an issue with HLB-affected trees, and indeed we found that was the case. He looked at well water bicarbonates and well water pH. So the lower the well water pH, typically the lower the bicarbonate rate. For these groves with irrigation water from shallow wells, in deep wells from the limestone aquifer, the pH was higher and the bicarbonates were higher. Looking at root densities, we found substantially different populations. This area with the low pH from the shallow wells typically had higher fibrous root densities. As you increase in pH, irrigation water pH, you had lower root densities. Soil pH was the same. With lower pH, you had higher densities. With high pH, you had low densities. So to feed on that survey, we set up a 3-year study looking at pH and how pH can contribute to soil nutrition or to the plant nutrition. We used Hamlin Swingle in 2 different groves at an initial pH, soil pH of 7.3. We had different irrigation water acidified for what ended up to be a total of 36 months in this study. The pH range was from 4.5, a pH, irrigation water pH of 4.5, and a non-treated control at the original 7.3. We looked for increases in calcium, magnesium, manganese, zinc, and other nutrients, as well as soil pH, and we found that these nutrients increased, leaf concentrations increased with decrease in soil pH. This graph is a little messy, but we had a non two different control treatments, one where we, both of them, we did not acidify the irrigation water. However, one we applied sulfur twice a year, and one we did not. The black dots are the one where we applied sulfur twice a year, and on average, the pH in both of those cases did not go below a pH of 7 for the irrigation water. But the irrigation water for the other various treatments, as I mentioned before, from a pH of 4.5 to 6.5, those were fairly straight line. Both were the ones receiving sulfur, and those not receiving sulfur. However, if you look at the soil over the last 2 years of the study, we had a gradual decline in soil pH for the various treatments, but not the non-treated control. That stayed at a pH of about 7.3. These, including the open diamonds at the bottom, went all the way down to about 4.5 at the end of the study. Looking at leaf concentrations, just for the last year of the study, about a year and a half of the study, we did not see differences in leaf concentrations because the pHs were still high. They were still higher than 6. But as the pH came down in that last year of the study, we saw the treatments break out, and we had higher leaf concentrations, in this case of calcium, for almost all of the treatments. We had no significant difference at pHs of 5.5 or less. So we concluded from this that both for manganese and calcium, that if you can get your soil pH back down to a pH of about 6 to 5.5, then that is the optimum range, as we've always recommended for citrus. And many growers are now doing that in their normal practice. They are acidifying the irrigation or applying sulfur products on either elemental form or a slow release form to keep that pH down as much as possible. So we've concluded that for all of these nutrients, that you are certainly much better off with HLB. And all of these trees had HLB in them. They were affected by HLB. So we are highly recommending that we keep the pH down in that 5.5 to 6 range, if possible. Now, there's always an issue with high copper levels in soils. We've known that for decades. We've never recommended to be below 6.5 if you have high copper levels, but we're not seeing toxicity, copper toxicity, at pHs below 6 or at 6 or below. So we don't know exactly why that occurs, but we have verified that. So that concludes my talk. I think I have a couple minutes for questions. Okay, very well, thank you.